Well, good morning again.
Once again, it's a great privilege to be here to share God's Word with you. And if you have your Bibles this morning, I want to ask that you would turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to be looking this morning at verses 1 through 3 of 1 Peter chapter 2. And when you have found your place in God's Word, I want to ask that if you're able to, that you would stand for the reading of God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1. Peter says, "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, I pray and ask that you would not hide your word from us, but Father, you would teach us your word, that you would reveal truths from your word that would admonish us and correct us and rebuke us and lead us in the path of righteousness. And Father, I pray that this morning your word would nourish the souls that are here this morning. And Father, I pray that you would encourage us and strengthen us, Lord, to read your word, to be in your word, to crave your word. And Lord, I pray that as I preach this morning, that it would not be for myself or anyone else, but Father, it would be for your glory and for your people. And Father, we love you and we give you praise. And Lord, we thank you for just the physical ability to be here this morning. And Lord, we invite your spirit to come and Lord, to take the words of your Bible. And I pray that you would write them on our hearts, that you would not let us forget them. I pray that the enemy would not snatch the word away, but it would fall upon good soil and produce much fruit. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A few months ago, I imagine some of you may have seen this video, but floating around on Facebook was a video of some Chinese Christian brothers. And in this video, it shows a man walking into the room and they have a box, and this box is full of Bibles. And these Christians in this room, the room was packed with women and men, and they were believers in Christ. But yet they did not have a copy of God's word. And the boxes were open, the books, the Bibles were being distributed. And as soon as these brothers and sisters saw the word of God, you heard kind of screams from the congregation. You saw people with tears flowing down their eyes. They were grabbing the Bible and putting them close to their chest. They were rejoicing because they finally had a copy of God's word. Those folks also in that video, as you see them grabbing the word of God and yelling for joy because of the word of God, you realize that they have a true craving for God's word. They are longing for the pure spiritual milk of the word. And when I saw that, it was just amazing. And I think often when I see that video of us as American believers, so often we have 3 and 4 Bibles, sometimes even more on our shelves. And many times in the American church, sometimes our Bibles get neglected. But this morning, as we come to this passage of Scripture, we see God's command for us as believers, and that is we are to long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word. Now, as we begin this passage, as we dive into it, we're going to begin in verse 1 of chapter 2. And when we as we work our way through this passage, the main verse that I want us to look at this morning is found in verse 2, which is that command to long for the Word of God. But let's begin in verse 1 and let's deal with that, because it seems out of place. But I'm going to show you that it's not out of place, but it fits with the context and it is pertinent to what we are going to study in verse 2. In verse 1, look here at what Peter says. He says, "So put away all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and envy and all slander." And then he goes in, he says, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk." When I was studying for this passage, or when I was studying for the sermon and reading this passage, I looked at verse 1 and it looks like it's out of context. It's out of place. Why would Peter say these things? Because, you know, in the context of calling on believers to crave the Word of God. Well, there's two reasons I think that he puts this where he does in verse 1. First of all, if you go back to chapter 1 and verses 22 and you look down to verse 25, you find that Peter brings up the subject dealing with the Word of God. He says in verse 22, he tells them, he says, "You have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love." He says, "Love one another earnestly from a pure heart." But then he says why they are to do this. "Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers with the flower, and the flower falls. But the Word of the Lord remains forever. And this Word is the good news that was preached to you." In that passage of Scripture, Peter says that they are to love their brothers. They are to love them earnestly with a pure heart. Why? Because they've been born again. But how have they been born again? Through the hearing of the Word of God. Through the good news that was preached to them. James talks about how we have been brought forth by the Word of truth. When the Word goes forth, that is the means by which the Holy Spirit uses to awaken people. He uses the word preached. And that's what had happened to the believers that Peter was writing to. They had been awakened through the preaching of the word. And now that they have been changed and been born again, they are to love others. But what is the opposite of loving their brothers? Well, one thing is malice. Notice all of these things in verse 1 of chapter 2 that Peter tells them to get rid of. He says, "You're to put away all malice." What is that? That is a desire to harm someone. They're to get rid of that. He says they're to put away deceit. Well, what is deceit? When do we use deceit? When we're trying to deceive others for our own purposes. We are sinning against someone when we do that. Well, he says we are to get rid of hypocrisy. Well, hypocrisy is also the opposite of loving someone with a pure heart. He says, get rid of envy and all slander. All of these vices, all of these sins that Peter lists here in verse 1 are the opposite of loving your brother. Now, as Christians, we are to put away all sin, right? But so this in verse 1 is not an exhaustive list of sins that we are to get rid of. But they do fit the context. If we're going to love our brothers earnestly with a sincere heart, because we have been born again, then as Christians, we are to get rid of malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. So that's one of the reasons I believe that Peter puts these things here in verse 1. Because we are to get rid of these things because they are not in keeping with brotherly love. But then there's a second reason why I think that he mentions what he does in verse 1. Because if we have these things in our life, they are a hindrance to our love and craving the Word of God. Here's what I mean by that. If we are fixated on trying to get ahead of someone or slandering them or tearing them down instead of loving them, then what are we going to do? We're going to be desiring ourselves. Our desires are not focused on God. They are focused on our sinful desires, our sinful pleasures, right? So if we're doing that, then we cannot love God, and we will at the same time not love His Word. We will not be desiring His Word. Let me say it another way. A person who is satisfied with sin or has an appetite for sin will not be satisfied, nor will they have an appetite for God's Word. As John Piper puts it in his book, he says, "Sin is what you do when you are not satisfied in God." So if we're going to crave the Word of God, then we must get rid of sin in our lives. We must put it away as believers in Christ. We are to put it away, as John MacArthur said. He said, "If your mind is all filled with wicked things, if it is if you're desiring deceptive things, hypocritical things, if your mind is filled with envy or your mind is filled with the evil of everybody else and you get the pleasure of slandering all of those people, if that's the pattern of your life, then your desires are polluted and the singularity of that longing for the Word of God is corrupted. If you have sin in your life, then you need to get rid of it in order to do the command, fulfill the command that Peter gives in verse 2. And what is that command that he gives us here this morning in verse 2? Like newborn infants, we are to long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Now, in verse 2, we get here a clear command. He's told us to get rid of sin, and now he gives us the command. We are to long for the pure spiritual milk. Now, some of your translations may say, long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word. Well, both of those are right. That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about the Word of God, craving the Word of God, desiring the Word of God. You know, in our society, and many times us as individuals, there are so many things that we often long for. Sometimes we long for a new car, or we long for a new job, or we long for a different house, or we long for our children to stop rebelling. All kinds of things. Others desire to, they long to get married. And as people, there are so many things that we long for. But the question this morning is, do we long for the Word of God? Do we crave the Word of God? How many of you this morning could say as the psalmist did when he said in Psalm 119:11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you? Or how many of you have desired and longed after God's word so much so that you could say as Psalm 119 and 15 through 16, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Psalm 119:24, your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Psalm 119 in verse 72, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. My question to you again is this, is God's word your delight? Do you delight in God's word and crave God's word with intensity, like the psalmist is described as doing in Psalm 119. I hope it is. But I'm afraid that in our culture today in America, a lot of times we don't crave the Word because our lives are filled with so many things that distract us from the Word of God. And the reason I can say that I don't think that in our society we crave the Word of God like Peter calls us to here is because of the polls and the statistics. For example, Lifeway Research surveyed more than 2,900 Protestant churchgoers and found that while 90% said that they desire to please and honor Jesus in all they do, only 19% personally read their Bible every day. According to the Center for Bible Engagement, only 50% of Baptists read their Bibles daily. Among those who are 22 years and younger, only 34% or one third read their Bibles daily. As far as biblical literacy goes, it is worse than you and I can even imagine. Fewer than half of all adults can name the four Gospels. Many Christians cannot identify more than two or three of the disciples. According to data from the Barna Research Group, 60% of Americans can't even name five of the Ten Commandments. A Barna poll indicated that at least 12% of adults believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. Another survey of graduating high school seniors revealed that over 50% thought that Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. That's where we are in the American church. We must long for the Word of God once again and dive into it and learn it and study it and memorize it and meditate upon it. It is a sad statistics, those are. The other statistics, in light of these statistics, it shouldn't shock us then that when we go to the local church, oftentimes what we find is the Word of God has been replaced with entertainment. We find that the sermons that should be based upon the Word of God are nothing more than self-help talks. We find oftentimes in our youth groups the Bible being sidelined for games and activities. There's nothing wrong with those things, but they should never trump the Word of God. They should never come before the Word of God. As you can see, this command that Peter gives here is very urgent. And it is urgent for the American church that we crave the Word of God once again. Baptists, for example, we have been a people, historically, a people of the Word. But in the last 100 years or so, we have drifted from the Word of God. Not in all congregations. This is a congregation that preaches the Word of God and quite faithfully. But in so many places you go to, you find that the Word of God has been eclipsed in favor of other things, other cravings. But Peter here is telling us what we all need to hear, and that is we are to long as Christians for the pure spiritual milk. Now, notice the metaphor that he uses here to describe the Word of God. He uses the metaphor of a baby or a newborn infant longing for milk that it might grow. Now, when we look at this this metaphor that he uses, some of you may be thinking of 1 Corinthians 3:2. Paul uses the metaphor of milk there, and he uses it in a negative way, in that they were not mature and he could not give them meat. We also see it used in a negative way in the same way in Hebrews. But here he's using it in a positive light, Peter is. He's using the metaphor of milk in a positive way, that we as believers, we like the newborn infant that is crying out for the milk that it might grow. We should do the same thing when it comes to the Word of God as Christians. The point is here that we are to be like babies, and we are to be like them in the way that they crave and they long for that which is vital for their life, that which causes them to grow into maturity. In our case, we are to crave the Word of God that we might grow. We might grow and become more and more like Christ, that we might be instructed in righteousness, that we might live more and more in accordance to God's ways, in accordance to His commandments. That's what we as Christians should do. Now, as we go through here, look at what he calls the Word of God. This is no ordinary book, and I know that you know that, but listen to the way he describes the Word of God. He describes it in three ways here. He tells us the nature of the Word of God that we are to crave. He says that it is the pure. We are to crave the pure spiritual milk of the Word. It has been said that in the time of Peter, dishonest merchants in that day would take milk and they would water it down and sell it to make more of a profit. Kind of like that, I think it's what, 1% that they do that with? It's not much milk there, a lot of water. That's what they would do. But here, when it comes to the Word of God, this type of milk, it is pure. It is true. We find in Proverbs 30 and verse 5, it says, every word of God proves true. Psalm 12 and verse 6 says, the word of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in the furnace on the ground, purified 7 times. God's word is a pure word. It is does not contain any error. It is truth because it comes from the one who is truth, and that is God Himself. It is the Word of God. We find also here this word that we are to long for. It is described not only as being pure, but it is also described as being spiritual. This book, you cannot understand it apart from the Holy Spirit. We find Paul telling us that in 1 Corinthians, that these things that of the Word of God, these spiritual things, we cannot understand them without the Holy Spirit. It is a spiritual book. It's not a book just written by men. It was written by men, but men who were moved by the Holy Spirit, who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. We also find that this word that we are to crave, not only is it pure and is it spiritual, but also notice what it does for it. We are to long for it because by it, it will help us to grow up into our salvation. Now, last time that I preached here, I mentioned that salvation, a lot of times we think about salvation in terms of a one-time event of when we came to faith in Christ, when we repented of our sins. But salvation is more than just a one-time event. Once we are saved, we are continuing to be saved. And we will one day see that salvation consummated at the return of Christ. And here he is saying that we are to long for the Word of God so that we might grow up into salvation. Here we have the picture of sanctification. Remember what Jesus said in John 17, 17. He prayed, "Sanctify them by your word, and your word is truth." How are we to grow as Christians? How are we to grow in our understanding of what God's will is for our life? How are we to communicate with God and have a relationship with God? It is through His Word. And as we study God's Word, and as we meditate upon God's Word, and as we take it in, we are growing. God uses that to equip us for every good work. It is what reproves us. It is what corrects us. It is what trains us in righteousness. And how can that ever happen if we are not in God's Word? You think about the metaphor, the imagery here that's being used of a baby longing for milk. What happens if a baby does not crave milk, does not eat early on? Its growth is stunted. It may have a little intake of milk and its growth will be stunted. But if it doesn't eat at all, it's going to just wither up and die. The same is true with a Christian. We are to long for God's Word because without God's Word, how do we even expect to grow? We cannot grow without God's Word. We also need to crave God's Word because it renews our mind. It helps us to think rightly. It helps us to have a biblical worldview. And it helps us to grow and become more and more like Christ. Now, there are four reasons why I believe that people, that we don't do this oftentimes. We don't crave God's Word. Sometimes people don't crave God's Word because they simply don't believe that it is God's Word. I don't believe that's true for the Christian, because the Christian is one who has heard the Word that is the good news preached and received it. There are some who do not crave the Word because there is sin in their life. That's why Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:1 that we are to get rid of sin in our life. We are to put it away. Because that becomes a hindrance to craving the Word. Because if we're craving or going after our sinful desires, we're not going to be craving God's Word. Third, oftentimes, and I think that all of us in a busy world that we live in, we all can sometimes struggle with this one. We are so full of other things that we have no time for the Word of God. Sometimes it's just good things. Maybe our life is just busy. Going to a soccer game, going to a baseball game, going to work, going here and there. I mean, that's our society. And many times at the end of the day, we can look up and realize, I've not even been in God's Word. But we need to put those things aside and remember what Jesus said in Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then there's a fourth reason why I believe that we don't often do this. We don't crave God's Word. And that is sometimes, when people don't crave the Word, it's simply because they've never come to know the Lord. And that's why Peter says, I believe in verse 3, he says that in verse 2, that we are to long for the Word. We are to long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word, that by it you may grow up into your salvation. Verse 3, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. If you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, if you have seen and encountered His salvation in your life, if you have understood what Christ has done for you, and you understand that He is far more valuable than anything this world could offer, then by that alone, that should cause you to long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word, knowing that this world has nothing compared to what God has to offer through His Word. And so those who are not saved have never come to know that God is good. And so therefore they don't crave God's word. The word of God, in fact, is foolish to them, to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, the word of God is, it is able to make us wise for salvation. It is a delight. It is pure as honey. Now, why do we need to crave God's word? Well, Peter, as we've already looked at, we've seen that it helps us grow in our salvation. It helps us to grow and become more like Christ. It is the word that sanctifies us. We should long for God's word and crave God's word because we cannot live without it. As I said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We need to crave and to be in the word because it gives us direction in life and it helps us to think biblically. As we were singing the song earlier, Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. We need to crave the word and be in the word because it is the word that makes us wise for salvation. That's what Peter, that's what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He is to remain in the word, the sacred scriptures that he was taught as a young child. Why? Because they're able to make him wise for salvation. And for Timothy, that was the Old Testament, which oftentimes gets neglected in our day and time. We know that the law of the Lord, it is perfect. Psalm 19 and verse 7, converting the soul. We need to be craving the word because it equips us for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof and for correction and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We need to crave the word of God so that we don't have an unbiblical view of what God is like. We know that many times, for example, a lot of the songs that are written today, when you compare them to the songs of, you know, 300 or 400 years ago, there was so much depth in those old songs because those men who wrote those songs were theologians and they knew the word of God. But many times you find today in much of contemporary music and even in on Sunday morning and throughout our churches, people who don't know God because they have not been in God's word. It is God's word that reveals to us what God is like. So therefore, we should crave God's word. It is also our weapon against temptation. That's the other reason why we should crave God's word. Remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, what did he do? Every time a temptation came to him, he counteracted that temptation by quoting the word of God. There is nothing that will help you more to fight against temptation than knowing the word of God. Because at those moments when you're tempted, the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance those things that you have learned from God's word and remind you how you are to walk. And then the other application that I see in this passage is, how can we develop a craving for it? Have you ever experienced that when you wake up and there's just really, I'm just like, where did all those emotions go yesterday? Yesterday I was on cloud nine and I just wanted to be in God's word. I just wanted to spend time with God. And all of a sudden you wake up and it's like the hunger's gone. I think that happens to all of us on occasion. What are we to do in those situations? Well, first of all, I think we should cry out to God. That's part of what it means to walk by faith. We cry out, we live in faith that God will give us what we don't naturally have. We cry out for God to give us a hunger for Him and His Word. We remind ourselves that we need God's Word. How do we develop a craving for it? We remove sin in our life. Things that would crowd out and God's Word in our life. And then, I think sometimes you've been there, I've been there. There's times when you just don't really feel like reading God's Word. But you have to crawl to God's Word just to get in it. But you crawl and you, even when you don't feel like it, and you come to God's Word and you read it and you cry out for God to speak to you. And then just a few minutes later, after being in God's Word and crying out for Him to give you that craving, it comes. And you're like, wow, why didn't I crave this earlier? How should we read the Bible when we come to it? Craving the Word, we're coming to God's Word. Well, when we come to God's Word, we should never read it as an academic textbook. We shouldn't read it just to fill our head with knowledge so we can teach our Sunday school class or so that we can win an argument. We should be learning it, but we shouldn't do it for just those reasons. We don't read it out of guilt in order to try to earn God's favor. We don't read it to win arguments just so we can boost our pride. We read the Bible for spiritual nourishment. We read the Bible that it might counsel us. We read it to find hope and comfort in affliction. We read it so that we can have a right biblical worldview. And we read it as part of that relationship with God, allowing God to speak to us. And we read it to help form our ideas and opinions about what God is like. We are to let the Word of God speak to do all of those things for us. Now, this is a shorter message this morning because we had the Lord's Supper and I kind of went quickly through these things and through this passage. But I want to leave you this morning. I could have just read this verse and it would have spoken to you. But I believe that this word is very pertinent for the church today, for all of us, for myself included. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters in Christ, crave God's word. Long for God's word. And don't just do that, but go a step farther and get into God's word. Study it and meditate in it. You know, there's a lot of passages that deal with that, meditating upon God's word and being filled. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and things like that. But Peter deals with the most basic form of coming to God's word. And that is we are to crave it. And it is a command. And maybe you feel this morning like you don't have the hunger that you should. Cry out to God to give you that hunger for His word. And crawl to His word, run to His word, and treasure it up in your heart. And remember God's word, how important it is for your soul, for your life. Think of that old hymn that says, "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled." Brothers and sisters, crave God's word. Dive into God's word. And this morning, maybe it is that you don't have a craving for God's word because you've never tasted and seen that God is good. You've never tasted and seen that He is good because you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I encourage you this morning, if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, know that you are a sinner, that you have sinned against a holy God. And what you need more than anything is Christ. You need Christ's forgiveness. You need Christ's atonement. You need the redemption that Christ has paid for your sins. And I encourage you, if that is you this morning, that you would repent of your sins and put your trust and faith in Christ and Christ alone to save you. And for every believer here, dive into God's word beginning today, this Lord's Day. Get into God's word and study it. Be equipped. Know what you believe. Know what God's word says and let Him nourish your soul that you might grow up into your salvation, that you might be sanctified, which is God's will for your life. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this morning,